Good afternoon. It's so good to see you. It's so good to be able to worship with you today. Today's lesson is about listening. Listening. How well we listen. Now, I want to show you a few slides about listening. Right? Let's see the first slide. I hear you, I'm just not listening. Right? I hear you, I'm just not listening. Second slide. Well, I'm listening, I just don't care. I just don't care. I hear you, I just don't care. How about this next one? Here is a parent or a teacher trying very hard to say something, but the teenager is not listening, right? We can all relate to that. Now, this next slide is my favorite. Here's a picture of someone who is soundly asleep in church, while everybody else appears to be awake, eyes wide open, listening to the sermon until we read the caption. See this guy? He's obviously new in church. Why? Because he hasn't yet learned the fine art of sleeping with his eyes open. That means everybody else is sleeping as well. Nobody's listening. Now, I wonder how often that is true in our relationship with God. Right? God loves us so much. He wants to have a relationship with us, and He wants to speak to us. He wants to communicate to us. But I wonder how well do we listen? How well do we listen? How are we receiving what God wants to say to us? And so today we're going to look at a passage in the Bible where Jesus told a parable, a story. It is the first parable that Jesus told, the very first parable. And this parable is so important that the theologians believe that it is the mother of parables, the mother of all stories, because if you don't get this one, you won't get anything else. That's why this parable is so important. So with that in mind, let me read you today's passage. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 10. Let me read it to you. Verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, He told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than it was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others, I speak in parable, so that those seeing, they may not see. Those hearing, they may not understand." May God bless reading of this word. So let's start by identifying what is what. Let's look at the farmer. Let's look at the seed. Let's look at the soil and what do they represent. The farmer represents God. The seed represents the Word of God. And the soil represents the condition of our heart. The condition of our heart. So let's look at this next slide. The outline of today's message is the four different kinds of soil that describes the conditions of our heart. The hardened path, the rocky soil, the weedy soil, and the good soil. May God open the eyes of our heart to see and to identify which soil we belong to, and we ask God to help us soften our heart so we can hear His message for us. Remember, if we don't get this one, we're not going to get anything else. Alright, so let's look at the first soil, the hardened path. Verse 5. Some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the bird ate it up. Why was the bird able to eat it up? Because the soil is so hard, so trodden, so gnashed, so stepped upon, so much, so many times, that it became so hard and cannot penetrate. See, the hardened path represents a callous heart. A callous heart. Nothing can penetrate it. Nothing can get through into it. Jesus explains what this means in verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear the word of God, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. See, the word of God came, but it took no effect in their life. It's like the seed of the word of God comes into our heart, and it goes, it touches our heart, and it goes boing, it bounces back, because the heart is so hard. It is so skeptical, so cynical. People, they have made up their mind that they want nothing to do with the Word of God. Just like this picture. Can we look at this picture? I am not ignoring you. I'm just listening to my finger. I'm just listening to my finger. In other words, she does not want to listen to you. She refuses to listen. No, you have to wonder why are some people, their hearts are so hard. Perhaps it's pride. They think, I don't need to listen to you. Who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell me what I don't already know? I know everything. Pride. Maybe pride. Or could it be bitterness? Bitterness. Because they have been hurt before. Perhaps they've been hurt deeply. And they said, you know what? I don't want to open my heart again. I don't want to make myself vulnerable. I don't want to be hurt again. So they close their heart. And because of the hardness of their heart, they don't want to listen. They don't want to listen to the Word of God. The Word of God comes and bounces back. And that's why Jesus told parables, stories to communicate the truth of His kingdom. And for people whose hearts are so hard, He said this, verse 9. The Jesus' disciples asked Him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others, I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. Now, do you see this? There is a secret message in the parable. Do you see that? There is a message within the message. And for those who really want to hear the secret of the kingdom of God, they ask questions. They say, Jesus, can you tell us what that really means? And Jesus would explain it to them. But for those whose hearts were hard, to them. It was just a story. It was just a parable. I have a question for all of us. How does hard, dry soil get hard, get softened? How does God soften a hard heart? He sends rain, right? He sends storm sometimes to break up the hard soil, to wake us up so that we can be like He is God and we really need Him. Perhaps there's someone here, if you're honest, you would say, yep, this is talking about me. This is the exact representation of my heart. May I appeal to you that perhaps through the storms in your life, God has brought you here because He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. May God soften our heart for His word. Let's look at the second type of soil, the rocky soil. The rocky soil. Verse 6. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. And Jesus explains what that means in verse 13. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. So the rocky soil represents the shallow heart. The shallow heart. A shallow heart is a heart that is superficial, emotional, easy, excited about something, but they don't last. Why? Because there's no depth. Oh yes, they may experience some sort of joy and excitement, but there's no root. Now, I love the Living Bible translation. The Living Bible translation translates it this way. These people enjoy listening to sermons. Now, I want you to know that this is no problem with enjoying sermons, okay? In fact, I want you to enjoy this sermon very much. But the problem is this. There's a difference between listening to a sermon versus allowing the sermon to take root in our heart. There's a difference between, oh, that's a good message, Pastor, versus, God, what is it that you want to communicate to me through this message? When I first started pastoring, I was in my late 20s. I was very young, and I was meeting up with an older gentleman who was my mentor. This gentleman, he had been pastoring for a long time, and he even wrote a book. And so he was a very good speaker, and he was very seasoned, very wise pastor. So one time I was going on a conference, and I asked him to speak to my young people, the young people I was pastoring at. So after I came back from the conference, I met up with my mentor. And I said, thank you so much for speaking when I was gone. And how did it go? How did it go? Was it good? And what I meant to ask was that, did my young people enjoy your sermon? It must be really good, right? Was it good? Now, his response was nothing I expected. Was it good? I mean, he either answer yes or no, right? Was it good? And he said, we will see. What? We will see? What was he talking about? He's talking about whether the message would take root in the the heart of the young people and bring about life change. And the truth is, so often people receive the message with joy. Good message! But it does nothing. It quickly falls away, right? Sometimes we make the mistake of focusing too much on our emotions, how we feel. Now that can be dangerous. There's a term in Christianity called emotionalism or emotional Christianity. People who base their faith in Jesus Christ on their feelings, their emotions. Dr. Lloyd-Jones, who was a very dynamic preacher, very good preacher, he wrote many commentaries, preaching commentaries. He passed away about 40, 50 years ago. One evening, he was preaching at a week-long evangelistic meeting. And he saw a young man move to tears. I mean, that young man obviously really enjoyed the message. Well, after the service, he was standing by the door and he was greeting people. And he saw this young man approaching him. And he realized this young man wanted to talk to him. But just at that first second, somebody cut in and started talking to him. And he noticed that this young man, after waiting for a while, this young man simply left the church. Well, the next evening, Dr. Jones was walking to church. And he recognized this man who was going the opposite direction. Walking away, right? Opposite direction. Well, they greeted each other. The man said, "Hello, Reverend. You missed something last night." Dr. Jones said, "What do you mean I missed something?" He said, "Well, you see, I'm not a religious person, but I heard about you. I wanted to hear you speak. And boy, you were pretty good. You're pretty good. And you had me there for a while." He said, "If you had given me some sort of invitation at the end of the sermon, I probably would have done it. In fact, at the door, if you had just said to me, 'Hey, let's sit down and talk,' I probably would have made some sort of decision or said some sort of prayer. But you didn't. You did not. Dr. Jones said, "Well, I've got some time now. Let's walk together. Let's walk together and we can talk." The man said, "Oh, no. You see, that was yesterday. I woke up this morning and realized something must have come over me. You almost have me though, but you missed your chance." Dr. Jones looked at him and said, "My dear friend, I don't know what happened to you last night, but it did not last. It was not the Spirit of God. I sure did not miss anything, and you did not miss anything either." Wow. Something for us to think about. How much of our faith, Christian faith in Christ, faith in God, is based on how we feel, our emotions? In the church, we do many things, and we try to do it well, right? We try to do good worship, and good preaching, and good activities, and good retreats, and good speakers, and we try to do everything well. But I hope that our faith is based on more than these things. But may our faith be real, substantial, based on the Word of God, not emotion, but from our heart. Amen? The third kind of soil is the weedy soil. The weedy soil. Look at verse 7. other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. And so Jesus explained what that means. Verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Do not mature. See, the soil here is so filled with weeds, thorns, and thistles that they suck out the nutrients, the life of the plant. And so, the weedy soil represents the preoccupied heart. A heart that is preoccupied by so many things. And we can all relate to this kind of soil. I mean, how often, right? We are so busy from the moment we get up in the morning to the time that we go to bed at night. Our schedule can be so packed. And at times, we don't even think about God throughout the day, not to mention the possibility that perhaps God wants to say something to us. You know, our technology is so advanced these days that it has the ability that if people have gotten a text from us, we can see if they got it or not. You know what I mean? It says read, R-E-A-D. It says that they got our message. But for some reason, they're not replying. Come on. You know what I'm trying to say to you. You know what I'm trying to communicate to you. You know, I'm looking for you. But you just will not respond. And isn't that annoying, right? You know they got it, but for some reason, they're just too busy, and they're doing something else, and they're not getting it back to you. And I wonder how often God looks like that. Come on, you heard me. Come on, I spoke to you, but you're not listening. You're not responding to me. Now let's look at some of the things that keep us busy. Weeds that choke out the life of the plant. Verse 14, again, they are choked by life. Three things. It says worry, riches, and pleasure of life. Three things. I wonder which kind describes your heart, right? Are you occupied by worry? And you just worry so much about everything? Or are you so preoccupied with riches? You're pursuing everything because you want to have a life that is comfortable. Riches and make a lot of money and good things of life. Or are you so preoccupied with your desire to pursue pleasure, fun, entertainment? Or perhaps, the truth is that sometimes all of the above, everything, we struggle at the same time. Let's look at this next slide. I love this. The Bible says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And here is a picture of a sheep who says, I wonder why I cannot hear my shepherd's voice. But the sheep is listening to something else and he's reading something else and he cannot listen to the shepherd. And he says, I wonder why I don't hear his voice. Preoccupied, right? Preoccupied heart. Hey, remember the Seahawk? Do you remember the Seahawk? Nobody talks about Seahawk these days. But there was a time when Seahawk, they were really good. And everybody talking about them. And the entire town's crazy about Seahawk. And wherever you go, you see blue and green everywhere. And I remember back in those days, our church meets in the morning. And so when it came time for lunch, after lunch, about 12:30, 1 o'clock, everybody's gone. And we're like, where did everybody go? Everybody disappeared. Where did they go? To watch the game, right? To go home and catch the game. Well, there was this one time, Seahawks, they played in the morning at 10 o'clock. It was the time of our regular worship. So I was preaching that day. After the service, a young man came up to me with his smartphone. He said, "Pastor Solomon, you will be so proud of me." I said, "What? What happened?" He said, "I only checked the score 3 times during your message. Only 3 times. I did not know what to say. Should I maybe congratulate him or yeah. We, right? We. What are the we in our life? Things that are distracting us from God. Let's look at this next slide. There you go. We. Have you noticed that you never have to plant weeds, right? They just show up uninvited. Uninvited, they just show up. You don't need to water them. You don't need to grow them. And have you noticed, they don't go away on their own. The longer that you ignore them, the bigger they get. And then their roots grow deeper. Now, have you noticed that when you weed them, you cannot just do it one time and call it good? No, you have to keep at it, right? You have to keep weeding. That's a picture of my backyard. I'm sorry. Very embarrassing. So embarrassing, right? I need to do some weeding. Right? I need to pay attention to my lawn. Now, can I ask you a question? If we were to show a picture of the lawn of your heart, what would it look like? What would the lawn, a picture of the lawn of your heart, what would it look like? Would you be like me and go, "Oh, come here"? Now, let's all be honest. Starting from me, right? Let's all be honest. We need to pay attention to the lawn of our heart. We need to do some weeding. Amen? We all do. We all do. And right here it says, what is a weed? A weed is anything that keeps me from God. Anything that distracts me from God. They may be good things. Good things. But if they distract me, if they keep me from God, then that's a weed. And we need to pay attention to our heart. What are some things in our life that are keeping us from God? Social media? Social media? Korean drama? Korean drama, anyone? Korean drama? Oh, this is big. Pokemon Go. I sincerely hope that when God looks down upon all of us, that He would not see a heart infected with weeds, all kinds of weeds. No, but that you would see good soil. Good soil, which is number four. Let's look at number four. Verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. See, that's a soft heart, a heart that's ready to receive what God wants to say to us. Look at the next slide. So, yes, the good soil represents an open heart. And there is an example of this in the Bible. Someone who realized it was God talking to them, and immediately their hearts were so soft. It's the example of Samuel. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, when he realized, wait a minute, this is God speaking to me. This is God talking to me. And he said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Right? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, commentary tell us the word listening here implies obeying. Meaning, Samuel was saying, Lord, please speak to me. I am ready to obey you. I am ready to carry out your command in my life. Just say the word. Just tell me what to do. My friends, can you imagine if that is our attitude whenever we approach the word of God? If that's our attitude, whenever we approach life and we're open to God, I wonder what you're going to say to me today. Your servant is listening, and I am ready to do what you want me to do. And so as a result, the Bible says it will produce a crop. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 20. It says here, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. It says some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown. See, that's a picture of a soft heart, ready to receive what God wants to say to them, and in time they produce fruit, even 100 times more than what was sown. This is the intended purpose of God's Word. The Word of God does not return void. It makes a difference in our life. When we receive the Word of God with a soft heart, it makes an impact, a big difference. I want to show you a few verses about this. John chapter 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. Showing yourself to be my disciple. A true disciple of Jesus is somebody who has a soft heart, an open heart for God. And the result is that he bears fruit. He bears fruit for God. Look at another verse. Galatians 5, 22-23. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, that's fruit-bearing. Fruit-bearing in our life. When we, our hearts are soft, it bears fruit. All kinds of fruit in our life. And check this out. Fruit bearing does not end when we grow old. When we grow old, it doesn't end. Look at this. I love this passage. Psalm 92, verse 14. Psalm 92, yes. They will still bear fruit in old age. Our people want to say amen to that. In old age, they will bear fruit. They will stay fresh and green. I love that. What encouragement. See, this is God's intent for us.
not just hear the word, but letting it take root in our life and bring about life change, and that we bear fruit for God's glory. And I sincerely hope that is the reality for every one of us here. So my brothers and sisters, that's my sermon. I try my best. I work very hard. I try to make it clear. I try to make it concise. I try to make it to the point. So what do you think? Was it good? Was that a good sermon? Tell me, yes or no? Oh, very good! Very good. That was a trick question. Was it good? We will see. We will see. I really hope that was a good sermon. We will see. God looks down upon us. See a group of people with soft hearts, open hearts, tender hearts, and say, Lord, we're listening. We are ready. We are ready to go and apply your teaching in our life. And may God help us to be salt of the earth, light of the world, so that when people see these fruits in our life, they can be glorious to God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word for us today. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for even the possibility that we can hear the voice of the Almighty God. Lord, help us to not take it for granted, but help us to have a soft heart, ready to receive your word, and ready to apply it, obey in our everyday life. Help us, Lord, and help our life bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.